we'll get the meeting started now in a couple of seconds. Okay, councillors, you're all very welcome here to the last meeting of 2017. Have we any apologies?
Paul Gribben,
any other apologies? No. Okay. As I said, this is our last meeting of 2017. I am aware that yet again we have had some families within our district that have had suffered different tragedies, so I'm sure you, like myself, will keep them in your thoughts and prayers as we enter the Christmas season. I would also just like to say at this moment in time that I'm aware the Rainbow community got an award in Letterkenny at the weekend. I'm also aware that they have issued a letter to most councillors raising concerns about premises, and I have asked Liam, possibly after this meeting during the week, to touch base with them to see what we can do so that is that matter dealt with just at the minute until we explore it further. Have we any declarations of interest? Councillor Savage?
Yeah, SPNR item 195, Murphy Trust.
Okay.
Chairman, SPNR, Hodder Dornane Club.
Okay. And nothing else, no other declaration. We will go into the action sheet, and Liam will just take us to talk us through it.
Yeah, Chairman, when most of the actions have been picked up, the one action that's not marked there is that the draft our response to the National Planning Framework 2040, Ireland 2040, was submitted as part of the consultation, Chairman. I think that is the only others. Letters have been sent on a number of the other particular areas, and Marie is bringing back in terms of the issue over the Minister of Leisure ERT Committee. So, unless any member wants to pick anything out, but I think that's been covered off, Chairman.
Okay, happy to move on. Item 4 then is the minutes of the council meeting, which was held on the 6th of November. We'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So, propose and second are for accuracy. Propose and seconded. And matters arising. Okay. Yep, we've all been picked up. Okay, item 5 is the minutes of the special council meeting, which was held on the 23rd of October. Again, we'll go through it page by page just for accuracy. Page 1. Okay, Councillor Burns, Councillor Savage, could I just ask you to take your seats? Councillor McAteer, time is moving on and I want to wind this up. Councillor Walker has now left the building, has he? Huh? Councillor Walker has left, so we can't. Is he there?
He's here.
Where is he? Come on, Billy. Councillor Walker, could I ask you to read out your amendment and we will put it immediately to a vote. Is Councillor Riley outside? No, he wasn't here.
Oh, but no harm, he's
okay, Councillor Walker. Councillor Riley isn't there, so neither is Councillor Burgess. Okay, so can you get you put your proposal again exactly as it is, and we'll try and get someone else to second it. Okay, Henry's coming in now, so please just read it out exactly the amendment as you want it stated. There'll be no further discussion about it, and it will immediately go for a vote.
Right, Chair, thank you very much. My amendment is, and he said he's not accepting it, but my amendment is that the Irish language bursary that has been proposed includes minority languages. So it would be a bursary on minority languages, which would include the likes of Polish, Ulster, Scots, etc. And disability languages.
Councillor Walker and Councillor Riley, you're happy to second the proposal. Can we have a recorded vote, please? We've now lost Liam, but we can go ahead anyway. Okay.
Okay. Councillors, then to call the names for the recorded vote. Councillor Andrews. Councillor Brown. Sorry. You're against. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Burns. Stephen Burns. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig. Councillor Curran. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Dorn. Councillor Enright. Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hertie. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Loughran. Sorry, Councillor Highland. Councillor Larkin has voted against. Councillor Loughran has voted against. Councillor McCauley. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McMahon. Councillor McMurray. Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Mernon. Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley.
Councillor Ruan?
Yes.
Councillor Savage?
Yes, sir. I wasn't good at that.
Councillor Sharvin?
Yes.
Councillor Stokes?
Yes.
Councillor Taylor?
Yes.
Councillor Tinley?
Yes.
Councillor Trainer?
Yes.
Councillor Walker?
Four.
8-4, 28 against, and one abstention. So back to the original recommendation.
Back to the original recommendation, then, which is
so we're now voting on the recommendation contained in the SPR minutes. Yeah. SPR 187.
Page 4, Chairman.
Councillor Andrews. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Burns. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig. Councillor Curran. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Curran, you voted. Against. Abstain. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Doran. Councillor Enright. Councillor Enright. Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hertie. Councillor Highland. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Loughran. Councillor McCauley. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McMahon. Councillor McMurray. Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Mernon. Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Ruan. Councillor Savage. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stokes. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Trainer. Councillor Walker.
Against.
28-8-1. There are 28 votes for, 8 against, and 1 abstention.
Okay. That's it. That's carried. Any other issues in SPNR? Councillor Savage?
Yeah, sure. That's what I was originally going to come in on. Was page 14 in relation to the car park at the sports centre. Sure, it's just an extension of the issues around the now vacant sports centre. I've had numerous approaches from particularly elderly people living in the Patrick Street, Barcroft, Raymond Kelly Park area. Apparently, the pathway through to the car park onto Patrick Street, the access has been closed off, and I'm wondering, is there anything we can do? A lot of them use that as a shortcut for the less able people in relation to getting to the post office to get their pension at Savages on Monaghan Street. And I was just wondering if there's anything we can do in relation to that issue. Sure.
Chairman, we can look at that there from a investigate, from a practicality point of view, conscious of the issue of security of our own premises. But
I understand that, Chair, but I said I would raise it when I was speaking.
We'll look at it.
I have a couple of issues to raise. The first one's on page 2 in relation to the Britain in Bloom. I'm supposed to congratulate Newcastle on the success and to commend DJ and his team as well as the local community for their great work. The next item, Chair, is on page 3. It's to do with the public toilets in the Newcastle area. I'm great to see this review coming forward. I suppose. The whole night's confused me.
Item 9, councillors, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities, which was held on the 20th of November. We're going through it again, page by page, just for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Councillor Walker and Councillor Burns. And matters arising in active and healthy communities. He's only out taking photographs, yeah. No matters arising in item 9. Okay. We move. Yeah. So those that have proposed for accuracy, are you happy that you're the proposer and seconder for the recommendations held within the report? Yep. Okay. Item 10, the minutes of the RTNS committee, which was held on the 22nd of November. We'll go through it page by page for accuracy first. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, and page 5. Proposed, Councillor Rand. Seconded for accuracy, Councillor Traynor. Councillor Devlin, you want to come in?
Thank you, Chair. Hopefully I'm on the right minute at the stage. I think my comments regarding the Newcastle Accession, Britain and Bloom have already been made in terms of commending DJ and his team and the local community for how well they've done in securing that award. The second issue I wanted to raise is relating to the public toilets in Newcastle. It's great to see this review has taken place. I suppose myself, like other Newcastle councillors, especially during the summer, were inundated with complaints regarding toilets in the Newcastle area. And I actually went and looked at the toilets in the Downs Road, and they were a disgrace. And that takes nothing away from the fantastic staff that we have working there. It obviously relates to the frequency of the cleanliness and the fabric of the building. And I suppose just as a mother, I wouldn't have took my child to that toilet. So why would I expect tourists and local people to have to use those facilities? At that stage, I suppose, after going and viewing the toilets, I did contact Adam, and I was pleased to see that this review is now taking place. Newcastle really needs fit-for-purpose toilets. I mean, that's a bare minimum. We have all the fantastic facilities in the town, and people are leaving with a bad impression because they've had to use the toilets. So I suppose when this review takes place, we need to be accommodating the needs, especially of disabled visitors we have coming to town, which is something that's flagged up for me time and time again. So I'm glad to see the review, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. It's in relation to the public toilets review itself, and this is a common theme that we're finding out within the council at the moment, is that we're carrying out reviews and strategies, and in a way it sort of delays already projects that have secured the funding, capital funding required within the rates process. And it's sort of trying to get an understanding how long this review will take. Will it hinder those toilet facilities that have been included in our capital programme in the rates process since the old council brought into the new council, and still we're waiting for the project to be delivered. Also, the review from speaking to Kevin Scullion is it's looking at the toilet facilities that we have, are they needed where they are, and also the lack of toilet facilities within particular areas. And there's many areas within my district, you know, or part of my GEA, like Clough, you know, there's 100,000 in the race process, been there since I have fought for it, and still the project hasn't started. And my concern is that we come to the race process and maybe that's seen as an easy thing to take out, and I wouldn't like to see that happen because Clough needs it. And I could give examples like Caliph could do toilet facilities. It's just understanding how long this review will take and how that will hinder the other projects that are already sitting there on the shelf waiting to be started.
Yes, thank you. The review was a quick and dirty review of condition, cleanliness and prioritisation, and the RTS committee have agreed in principle to support a bid against the capital programme of 1.2 million to carry out works in line with the schedule presented to the RTS committee, which shows a three-year application of that 1.2 million, with the Newcastle toilets in year one, and a couple of other toilets in year one, and then the remainder over the following second and third year. In discussions with Kevin and members, will also, as part of that, so they will become, if agreed through capital programme, they become projects, and they will be managed in the normal way. But in addition, RTS requested that we engage wider groups to ensure that the public conveniences are refurbed and improved to suit a wider application. So you mentioned disabled people. I think autism was also highlighted as an area that we need to look at. So we are going to apply in the design process what ought to be regarded as best practice to ensure these are fit for purpose and have a long term, both in terms of the material but also the scope and scale of the provision. And that will come with each and every project as it's worked up to be brought back for agreement. One would hope, therefore, that by, I suppose, the first 6 months of that rollout, we'll also have a proposal that actually does look at a strategic proposal on public conveniences. We've looked at a document produced by Belfast City Council, and within that, they've considered the use of toilets in business premises, they've considered what would be the rationale for areas requiring toilets and they may not have them. So creating something of a criteria, something of a judgment, but also something of a review, because there are some toilets that are very close to each other and there's a question, do you need both? Or there are other buildings that belong to the authority with adequate toilet provisions, do we need a separate toilet block? Within the first year of the prioritised projects, those questions don't arise, because most of those are prefabricated buildings, replacing buildings that are beyond repair. But we can, within those designs, cater for the wider groups and their requirements in terms of fittings and fixtures and design and layout. So hopefully that responds to your question. Thank you. Yes, I could do that to all members, Chair, if that's required.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I just wondered what would be, is it within the remit of the review here that they would look at areas where, you know, the toilets are needing upgrading or else really looked at in terms of opening? And I'm specifically speaking about the toilet block up at Spelga Dam, where I was there, I don't know, in the month of February last year, but I just noticed the number of people who were coming in, visitors actually, even so, therefore all year round, coming in, and the toilets either never open or else weren't open, but I'm not unsure. And, you know, they're not exactly a great advertisement for our area, you know, in the middle of the scenic moorns, in terms of, you know, usage and the way that they look, the visual impact that they have, never mind the need that there is there, obviously, because that car park is a picnic area, but it also is a departure point for a lot of walkers who are setting out hiking in the moorns. So can I ask if it's possible to take a look at that and investigate that and maybe put on the action sheet and come back? So at least I'll be able to keep an eye on it. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that's incorporated with each project that we bring back as a detailed project. Part of that will be an analysis of the hours that it needs to be open, because you'll find some on the schedule are closed through the winter period, some are open extended hours during the summer period, and with that obviously differing cleaning regimes. So as we look at bringing forward the designs for the refurb or refits, we can also get some clarity on the opening hours that are most suitable for that particular premises, and that needs to be judged by local knowledge, including members, so we'll feed that into that process.
And Madam Chair, just on the issue of toilets, I'm sure you're aware that the toilet block in Kilkeel at the lower square, which is the only toilet block we have in Kilkeel, was extensively damaged and is now closed for the foreseeable future. But I'm just at a loss as why anybody would want to destroy our property. You know, you speak to young Protestants that would be in the town and they'll say that, you know, this council discriminates against us, and this is that, you know,
Sorry,
I'm only
keep,
Madam
keep
Chair,
relevant.
Will you let
keep
me
relevant.
Finish? I know you don't like what I say, but at least let me finish. But what I want to say to those young people is, regardless of how you feel towards the council, please do not vandalise the property, because you end up, or your parents end up paying for it.
Councillor Riley, I would remind you, if you're aware of anybody that vandalises council property for any reason, that you should be reporting it to the police, not to discussing it in this chamber. But Adam, could we ask maybe for an update on the canteen toilets? Are you aware of any situation with the canteen toilets or any intention?
Well, it's a very good question, and that's a question that arises when looking at opening hours and looking at the fixtures and the fittings and looking at the security. All of that needs to be considered with each of the projects that we bring forward.
Could I ask, Adam, if you haven't that information, would you contact Councillor Riley tomorrow, if you can, with an update?
Yes, Chair.
Is that okay? I appreciate that. Councillor Byrne?
Thanks, Chair. Just a brief question on the toilets. I think it was a number of months back at a Ringogullion Landscape Partnership Board meeting, there was a scheme raised where people with disabled children can get a key that can open all the public toilets in the area, right across the north. It's something that happened in the UK. The more people I ask about it, nobody knows about it. So, Adam, is that scheme relevant in Northern Ireland? Are you aware of a scheme like that? And if so, can we get more information on it? No, when they're closed. It's a universal key that will open all toilets. Yeah, it exists.
Yes.
Okay. Councillor Burgess?
Chair Nick, Councillor Sharvin, I'm annoyed at how long this has taken, this new programme for the toilets, especially the one on Sainfield. Where are we at? Because the disability toilet has been closed for quite a while now, and it's in the playground where grandparents and one thing or another comes down, and even one of the kids who is in a wheelchair can no longer use the toilet. And we were told that Goldie needed a door, then we were told we needed it fixed internally. And I was just wondering where we are now, because it has been going for quite a while now, and we need it done immediately.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Adam, have you any update on that? Or is it one that you need to...
We do have toilets that are suffering from damage, and they're incorporated in the programme. And in terms of timing, of course, we were asked by the RTS committee to bring back a review of all the public toilets. And with that, we have, and we've recommended that a significant sum from the capital programme is allocated. Until that allocation is agreed formally, we don't have that money in place. In the meantime, of course, we do try and maintain what we do have within budget, and I'll get back to you as to when we hope to, as you say, repair the disabled toilet. I am aware of it. And I'll come back to you on an estimated time.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, can I just ask that this toilet be done immediately, because it's been so long that it's been like that. And at this time of the year, in the colder weather, the people, when they're down at the Fife Park, definitely need to go, and they need to go in a wheelchair. There is no other toilets near on this playground. And, Chair, can I ask this to be a major priority?
Okay, Adam, would you look at that? Councillor Quinn?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would just like to be associated with Councillor Devlin's remarks about Newcastle and Bloom and about the toilets in Newcastle. But that links into what Councillor McAteer has said. We have a number of venues where there's toilets and bins, which are in areas where we get an awful lot of visitors to the area. And I think we could do with having a review of both those services, the toilets and the bins. Because at times, even at the Newcastle Centre, the bins are all sitting full at lunchtime in the day with papers and chip boxes overflowing out onto the footpath. I think we need to have some kind of a review of all those waste services that we provide.
Okay, Councillor Quinn, thank you very much. Okay, everybody's happy then with the minutes from the RT&S committee, and we can then move on to item 11, which is the appointment of one member to the FLAG flag board. Councillor Andrews?
Madam Chair, it gives me the greatest pleasure. I would like to nominate Councillor Dermot Curran for appointment to the flag board. For as long as I can remember, Dermot has been a keen supporter for the fishing industry, and his expertise and many years of experience would be an asset, beneficial, and with that experience behind him, ready to hit the ground running if selected by this council as its flag board member. So I propose Dermot Curran for that position.
Can we have a seconder? Okay, Councillor Burgess is going to. Okay, Councillor Harvey.
I would like to propose Councillor Hanna for that position. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Have we a seconder for Councillor Hanna?
Councillor Craig.
Councillor Craig, okay, seconded.
Any other proposals?
No, okay. We have two people then, Councillor Dermot Curran and Councillor Glyn Hanna. So we need to put it to a vote.
Yeah, Chairman, we need to go down through the on the standing order 20/30. If agreement cannot be reached by members when voting on external appointments, there is more than one post to be filled. The number of nominations exceeds the number of vacancies that should be allocated. There should be a ballot of the members present at the meeting in which each member of the council should vote for as many candidates as there are vacancies filled. Vacancies should then be filled by using a single transferable vote. This arrangement doesn't apply to any positions must be filled in accordance with the 2014 Act. So we'll go down through this here one by one, get each member to vote, and then based on somebody meeting the quota, then that person's elected.
Councillor Riley, are you proposing someone else?
No, Madam Chair. What I wanted to ask, does he know, is there a statutory limit on the number of people that can serve on the flag board? I'm told that there's not.
Chairman, our advice is just to, as I asked that question too, there must be one councillor from Ards North Down and one councillor from this council, and that's all that can be accepted on the board.
You've already clarified that then, sir.
Yeah. So we.
Vote for either Councillor Curran or Councillor Hanna. So, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Bailey absent. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Burns. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig. Councillor Curran. Councillor Devlin, you're perfectly integrated. Councillor Devlin, Councillor Dorn, Councillor Enright, Councillor Fitzpatrick, Councillor Hanna, Councillor Howard absent, Councillor Harvey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Highland. Councillor Kimmins absent. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Loughran. Councillor McCauley. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McMahon. Councillor McMurray. Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Mornin. Councillor O'Gribben absent. Councillor Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rowan, Councillor Savage, Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Stokes, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Tinley, Councillor Trainer, Councillor Walker. 21 for Councillor Curran, 16 for Councillor Hanna. So Councillor Curran's appointed, Chairman.
Okay, folks, settle down again. Okay, councillors, just settle down. We're going to move on now to item 12 and 13, which are conference and events. Liam, do you want to talk us through them? Councillors, we're talking here. We have two. The first is the Conference of Transport and Infrastructure.
Chairman, the information there morning on the... It's on the 20th of February morning in Belfast. It doesn't seem to have any cost, Chairman.
If anybody is interested, item 13, the Ligon Navigation Trust Conference. The information there again, Liam.
Yeah, Chairman. It's on this Thursday, so conscious of this very tight time scale.
On that one, £50.
There is a charge in a general registration. £66, Chairman. Early board, £66.
£56.
It's after the 17th.
All right, I'm sorry. Okay.
So you're £66, Chairman. Inland waterways. It's inland waterways. Canals.
Okay, there's several people's lights are on. I take it it's about these conferences. Councillor Harvick?
Yes, Chair. I'd just like to propose Councillor Craig to go to the transport infrastructure one.
Anybody can go. Any of the councillors can just indicate their interest in going. Councillor Burgess?
Chair, I would like to go to that because I can't understand why the A5, the A6 routes as always seem to come to the top, and the A7 seems to always...
Well, then, if you would
neglected.
Like to go, that's not a problem.
Chair, can I ask that this council rates and ask that A7, somewhere along the line,
be included?
Because
it's not
it was a top priority in our old council.
Transport.
Chair, the A7 was a top priority in our old council.
Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I was just going to say the importance of that particular conference and particularly where we are with the Sullen and Leaf Road and that. I would like to certainly declare an interest in going.
Any councillors interested in any of the conferences, please just let member services
should be represented. But
I think we need to know.
Should be there. I think it's too important by the looks of the whole thing, and particularly when the Sullen and Leaf Road doesn't get a mention, so I do think maybe some of our senior officials should be there too.
Chairman, we can arrange for someone to go along for it. Yeah.
Okay, councillors.
Chairman, is there anybody interested in Norwich waterways? I can nearly talk. So, Councillor Casey.
Nobody has interest
okay, it's just
in
that. Councillor
Morgan, are you interested in the waterways, the Ligon one?
So
right, and Morgan
and Casey, yeah.
Okay. That's fine, councillors. We move on to item 14, which is for noting, and it's the correspondence received from Peter May, Permanent Secretary, regarding the A2 Road in Newcastle. That item is for noting. Councillor Quinn.
Chair, as it was myself who had raised this, I would just like to express my disappointment in this letter. They have pointed out that this road is fit for purpose. But almost 50 years ago, the old urban district councils recognised this road in need of major repairs and realignment. So much so, they planned an entire new road. But I have now attended the different road service offices. They have lost that full set of drawings and all the work they've done leading up to this scheme. It had got on so far in the development. They had erected the fences and farmers' fields to start this job. And now it has completely gone out of existence. I'm very disappointed with this completely.
Yeah. Madam Chair, can I back Councillor Quinn 100%? It's absolutely scandalous that they can't do anything about the A2. They say it's fit for purpose. Like, you know, when I bang our car, it's fit for purpose if it's MOT, but it might be rubbish. And that road is, in road terms, absolute rubbish. It's the worst in Northern Ireland for the A2. And, you know, we should really be putting pressure on. I know that if we get the city deal, the connectivity aspect will mean that the A2 will be fixed. But we need to do something about it. It really is ridiculous. Scandal, the way we're being neglected. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, could I just echo what my two colleagues have said? I've worked in the motor trades I have now set up for 36, maybe 37 years. And I've attended, I don't know how many fatal accidents on that particular stretch of roads from Newcastle through to Ballymartin and on through to Warren Point or Strava. I was just counting in my head, so was, I can count nearly 25 fatal accidents over my time, Sir Karen. That road does need upgraded, so it does. It needs realigned, so it does. And that is one of the most disappointing matters I think I've seen in some considerable time. It's a disgrace. Thank
I think you. The disappointment of councillors will be noted. If we move on then to item 15, correspondence received from Peter May, Permanent Secretary, regarding notice of motion proposed changes to 10B permits and minibus driving. And again, that letter is there for noting. Councillor Merlin.
Yeah, just a quick one on it, Chair. You know, I'm pleased that we've got such a quick response from them, but it's also disappointing that the groups affected with this aren't getting the same level of response for them. You know, they still don't know where they stand on these 10B permits, whether they have to go to operator's license or whether they continue working on 10B permits. So I think we do need to continue to keep the pressure on them, but it's welcome to see Peter May saying that the department is fully determined to ensure that the service, which is a vital service to our district, continues.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillor Quinn.
Well, thank you, Chair. I would agree with what my fellow councillor has said. This letter doesn't lay out the message very clearly, because it seems to be driving the community transports down the road of becoming private companies to deliver community transport. A lot of the work that they deliver is with volunteer drivers, some of them who have had long careers driving here and there, and now, because of interest in their community, they are helping to provide this service. And I think it is denying an awful lot of particularly elderly and disabled rural residents full access to this very important service.
Okay, Councillor Quinn, again, your concerns will be noted. Okay, folks, we move on to item 16, which is the notice of motion received from Councillor Brown. Councillor Brown, would you like to read out your motion, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, I'll read out the motion. I'll be as quick as possible because I realise we've been here a while. Motion states that this council prioritises the Eastern Distributor Road in Downpatrick equally alongside other priority infrastructure projects in the district, the Balmahinch Bypass, the Southern Relief Road and the widening of the A7, and will write to Transport NI to confirm this. It recognises the severe congestion issues facing the district's largest town and the negative effect this has had on the growth and prosperity of Downpatrick and its surrounding area. The Council commits to prioritising the Eastern Distributor Road whilst also continuing to advance the Southern Link Road and one-way system infrastructure projects in Downpatrick at a later stage. Chair, I did email Democratic Services prior to this meeting as I'd like to add an amendment to the motion. It's up to you whether you accept it, and if not, I'm sure someone can make it from the floor, but I'd like to add an extra sentence onto the end that the Council will also write to the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Infrastructure requesting a meeting as soon as possible to discuss these priority projects for the district.
Okay.
And if I can make some comments then on the motion after you've decided that, Chair.
Is everybody happy with the added sentence at the end of the motion? Nobody? No objections? Okay, the Council is happy with that.
Thank you, Chair. Anyone familiar with Downpatrick will also be familiar with the congestion issues which have plagued the town for decades. At times, the congestion is just as bad as anything in Balmahinch or Newry, and as our largest town, we have a responsibility to work with government departments to advance and deliver schemes which can help it grow and prosper. The Eastern Distributor Road, also known as the Downpatrick Link Road or Eastern Peripheral Route, depending on which plan or strategy you're reading, has been languishing on the department's long-term schemes list for some time. Long-term means that within the next 10 years, it is still unlikely to be delivered. This is simply not good enough for a town where population growth and housing development means more congestion, and people already are avoiding the town centre shops due to traffic harming our local economy. The Eastern Distributor Road, consisting of four elements, Strangford Road to Saul Road, Saul Road to Ballyhornan Road, Ballyhornan Road to Struil Wells, and Struil Wells to Ardglass Road, is currently undergoing a feasibility study, which is almost complete. I can confidently speculate that the study will come to the conclusion that whilst the scheme is sound and desirable, there are two primary roadblocks, excuse the pun, to its delivery, which will likely leave it on the long-term list. The first are budgetary constraints in an unstable political environment. The second, which this council can have a direct impact on, is the lack of local authority support for this scheme so far. The council would not be a delivery partner in this project, and therefore their support would come at no financial cost to the ratepayer. But there is very little incentive for the Department of Infrastructure to deliver this project while support from the council, the voice of locally elected representatives, is lukewarm. It has been reported in the local press recently that the council is not supportive of this scheme, or at least that it is not a priority for them. With this motion, I hope to set the record straight and show that the Eastern Distributor Road is as much a priority as any other major infrastructure project, such as the Southern Relief Road, Balmahinch Bypass, or A7 widening project. The Eastern Distributor Road has significant cross-party support. It has been very vocally supported by the last infrastructure minister and current MP for South Down, who ensured the feasibility study was carried out and that a section of the road would be developer-led. Its prioritisation should not come at the expense of any other infrastructure project in Downpatrick, such as the vital one-way system or Southern Link Road. However, given that a viable route has been established and a feasibility study carried out, now is the time to make sure the Eastern Distributor Road is established as a council priority. I hope that all councillors here tonight will join me in lending their support to this motion.
Chair, thank you very much. And in relation to our party, we find and we feel that we can't support this motion. One of the reasons being is I am a Rowan councillor. My priorities lie with the Balmahinch Bypass and the A7. I'm fearful that prioritising this too up there will end up maybe holding up the Balmahinch Bypass, something that people have been calling for 40 years. Now, the Balmahinch Bypass at the minute is standing shovel ready. We were told that at a meeting 2 weeks ago with Peter May, the Permanent Secretary. Me and Councillor Andrews had the privilege of meeting him in relation to taking the Balmahinch Bypass forward. Now, we're hopeful that monies will be made available come the new year in relation to the Balmahinch Bypass. I think that prioritising this too, there is a number of projects that could be prioritised in our district, but I believe by prioritising too many, we get nothing. Now, Transport NI gave a presentation to Council a month ago, and Councillor Brown there has presented the motion, which is entitled to do so, but this wasn't raised with Transport NI. 4 weeks ago, when the opportunity was there, they were sitting there, we could have asked them to prioritise it at that meeting, so we could have. We didn't hear one squeak from anyone in relation to this Southern Relief Road or the Eastern Distributor Road. Now, the only person I've ever heard shouting about it over the years, to be honest and to be fair, was Councillor Dermot Curran over the years that I've come into council. But the opportunity was there 4 weeks ago whenever they had an opportunity to press Transport NI. Now, I would be worried, really, really worried, that this will hold the Balmahinch Bypass up in the A7. And I'm sure there's other councillors will speak maybe about the Southern Relief Road. We've heard there about the A2 and that there. But my concern is that I'm a Rowan councillor and I'm out to prioritise mine, which is the Balmahinch Bypass and the A7. So I will not be supporting the motion. I will be abstaining.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Traynor, and after Councillor Traynor, I'm taking in Councillor Walker because he indicated that he wanted to come in, but if he puts on his light, it puts everybody else's lights out. So he had indicated that he wanted to come in.
Water.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Willie. Sorry, Willie Clark, Councillor Clark, Councillor Trainer.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'd actually just at this moment like to second the proposal that was put in front of us. I have to say I'm slightly disappointed that the DUP will not be supporting one of the major infrastructures in this district being a priority for themselves. I am a Down Patrick councillor. It will seem very crucial for me supporting this. However, it's not that I'm just supporting this. What has been said in this motion that has been brought forward by Patrick is that this will be of an equal priority to other projects which are important throughout the district. So like the Southern Relief Road, which is very important for Warren Point and Newry, it's very important for the businesses in Newry Town Centre, where traffic congestion can be a problem. It's on a similar importance of the Ballinahinch Bypass, where, yes, the people of Ballinahinch are plagued with traffic, as well as the commuters who are going from this district up to Belfast and further afield. With the Eastern Distribute Road in Downpatrick, the major issue here is we have in Downpatrick an opportunity to develop the county town of Down. Now, this isn't, you know, a county town of this district. It's the county town of County Down. For us to not develop in this area would be an absolute shame. It'd be a shame in everyone in this room. It's one of the jewels in the crown, because there are many jewels in our crown here in Newry Morne and Down. And this is one of the great jewels. The country of St Patrick, the burial place of St Patrick. You know, we have an opportunity with Eastern Distributor Road to allow for more residential development in Downpatrick, raising the population, bringing in potential business. We have an opportunity to alleviate some of the traffic conditions in Downpatrick Town Centre, which itself faces traffic congestion, which I'm sure Councillor Walker and I'm sure a lot of people here will recognise once they come into the town and they try and make their way from Ballydugan or they try and make their way from the Belfast Road up to this centre. This is not a motion looking for preferential treatment, and I hope that Councillor Walker doesn't think that we are looking for preferential treatment. What we're looking for here is we're looking for equal treatment. We're looking for this district to have a wide overarching look at all the infrastructure projects and to see that it's not that one project should be more prioritised than the other, but they all should have equal priority. Now, as it's been said, Southern Relief Road has come on leaps and bounds, speed ready. Ballinahinch Bypass, leaps and bounds, speed ready. You know, this is a project, yes, that is going through a feasibility study. Feasibility study yet to be published by Transport NI. It's something that is going to be there in the future. We're hoping the short-term future, not the long-term future, but not something that's going to impact on the Ballinahinch Bypass. As Councillor Walker has rightly pointed out, money can be there, can be available for the Ballinahinch Bypass. The previous minister had actually signed off that the Ballinahinch Bypass, once the funds were available, would be underway. You know, so this is not to say that we're wanting to knock that out of the way, or to knock the Southern Relief Road out of the way. This is to say, give us a fair chance. You know, and it's not, we don't have, as a council, yes, certainly, we don't have the powers with regards to the roads. However, we do have a power to influence those in the department and in Transport NI, and we're asking simply that we use that power to influence and we impress upon them how important this infrastructure project is for this district, especially for the northern side of this district. And as I say, it's not trying to take away from Ballinahinch, it's not trying to take away from Newry Southern Relief Road, it's not trying to take away from the A7 widening road, but the A7 widening will benefit the people of Downpatrick just as much. What we're saying is, let's take them all together and say, these are all key priorities, and if we can avail of any funding whatsoever, and let's talk to the Permanent Secretary. If we can get a meet with the Permanent Secretary, let's explore the different options. That's what this is asking for. It's asking for a common sense approach to all of our infrastructure projects. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose to say from the beginning, Sinn Féin very supportive of the proposal. Indeed, I facilitated a meeting, I remember, with Colin Murphy, who was the DRD Minister when I was up in the Assembly. So that shows you how long this is going on, this particular subject matter. It's a developer-led project, and it is a different proposal from the other proposals that we've been listening to, the Ballinahinch Bypass or the Leaf Road, A7 Doan to up, they're all different types of proposals. The Department of Infrastructure have committed to them projects as priorities. But it's up to us as a council to help facilitate, in my opinion, a way forward. When this was this proposal was made, it was during the boom, and that's why it ended up, it was a developer-led project that each developer, each landowner would build a portion of land or make the contribution that was required to start the project. But as the recession came, and that's where the difficulties arose. So we're probably back, and I was going to ask to take an amendment in regards to that the council should be facilitating a meeting with the Transport NI, Department of Infrastructure, developers, and also the landowners on how we take this forward. We can stamp our feet and say we want this as a priority, but that's, you've been disingenuous to the public. What I'm about is trying to get a proposal that we may get movement on it. We might actually envisage the scheme actually happening. And I think that's what we have to focus on. How are we going to facilitate moving this forward? Going to meet the Permanent Secretary on his own, I don't think it'll achieve anything, to tell you the truth, unless you involve all the people who have them parcels of land that have been zoned under the Archdown Area Plan. They were zoned for to increase the housing growth indicators in the Dunpatrick area, and to fulfil that development, the economic development, the jobs that would create, but also to make Dunpatrick, you know, a bigger town and moving forward. So I would ask that that's taken on board, that the council does facilitate that meeting with the, as I said, Transport NI, the developers and the landowners, and interested other people who want to come along, could be councillors as well. But I'm making that amendment in regards to the motion. And as moving forward, we've discussed this in an Ocean Fein of Daphne, all over the years have supported this project. I remember in McConwy was very vocal on the matter, and again we had meetings with Transport and our road service then as well as them. But it has been a difficult project, and as I said, it's because of the recession, it's been a difficult project. But hopefully we're coming out of that period, and hopefully there will be an opportunity to start a stimulus to develop this. A colleague, Chris Hazard, commissioned the feasibility study. Transport NI, I spoke about this on the night that Councillor Walker talked about. I asked Simon Richardson, regardless, you know, how was this going to move forward, and was he willing to work with council to bring it about? In my opinion, that's what community planning is about. It's about us all working together to get the best for our community. So I'll just leave it at that. A lot of work's went into this. I'm interested in looking at the feasibility study. Transport NI officials said they were considering the recommendations and proposals that were coming out of it. I think it's important that we see the document also. And again, the divisional manager, he was quite happy to let us see that report. So I think that's the way forward in this. As I said, we can stamp our feet and say that we want to see this as a priority. But if Transport NI don't see it, that regards, then I think we're wasting our time. But with the amendment, Sinn Féin would support.
Okay, could I just ask you, Councillor Walker, just to say, Councillor Clark. Councillor Brown, do you agree to the amendment? Do you want Councillor Walker to say the amendment? Oh my God! I just can't get it out of my head! Councillor Clark! Councillor Brown, do you agree to the amendment as put by Councillor Clark? Councillor Clark? Would you read out your amendment or say again what your amendment is?
What it is, the council facilitates the meeting along with Transport NI officials, landowners, and developers have been bringing this project forward. Simple as that. And councillors, obviously.
Would that be the
It would be an additional meeting then? Okay. Okay, so Councillor Brown has accepted the amendment. Councillor Clark has proposed it. Can we have a seconder for the amendment and then we'll move on? Yes, but we have to take the amendment first. Are you seconding the amendment?
I would like to second what Councillor Clark has said. I think it's very sensible to propose
okay.
it. Chair,
would
and I would second that. Chair, can I speak on it? Chair, Nelga Israeli had met with the Minister and with the Permanent Secretary on the A7, on most of the major roads in Down District. And, Chair, to tell you the truth, I was disgusted with him. But I'm leaving that for another day. Because the A7, he said, it had got an upgrade. But the upgrade was putting high curbs in, that where slow-moving traffic no longer can move onto the verge of the road to allow traffic to pass. Where the police are actually pulling in slow-moving vehicles, such as tractors, trailers, diggers, and one thing and another, saying that they are now convoying with that many traffic behind them. But the road service have left nowhere for slow-moving traffic to move over. So we really need to discuss the A7 as well, Chair, if we are meeting with them. Because there is a lot of problems out there on that A7. And for building a hinge bypass is a must. And it must happen sooner rather than later. Chair, if we're going for half an hour about it, but I'll leave it at that.
Councillor
Sharvin. Thank you, Chair. And if I was a Rwandan councillor like Councillor Walker, I would be concerned about Ballinhinch bypass as well, but I'm not, and I'm Downpatrick councillor, and I'm concerned about the East bypass for Downpatrick. Chair, this goes back as far as 2005 when initial scheme appraisal was carried out by DRD. Then in 2007, it was included in the sub-regional transport plan. In 2009, it went into the Arts Down area plan. In 2013, actually, I led a delegation to meet the former DRD Minister, Danny Kennedy, with DUP Councillor William Dick and SDLP Councillor Dermot Curran. So it has always been a priority for the Council. And it will always continue to be a priority for the Council, and certainly while myself and my colleagues are councillors on this council itself. Chair, there is already a man-made bypass in Downpatrick. People are using the Slieve Grand Road as a bypass. It's a rural road that is not fit for purpose. It cannot cope with the traffic, and for most days it is deadlocked. You cannot get past it. The congestion on Edward Street, the limitations of having big retail outlets coming to Downpatrick is because of the traffic. And for anyone, I would support any other priority that people have for infrastructure for our roads, and I would hopefully expect that all of them will pay the same respects for their other colleagues in this council in supporting them in prioritising Downpatrick as much as any other area in this council.
Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. While I wish all councillors well in lobbying for particular strategic projects in their area, I have to point out this, that the proposer for this motion is missing one very important point, Chair, and that is that the Ballinhinch bypass is ready to go. There was a public inquiry about 2 years ago. And actually, I don't recall actually seeing the proposer at that public inquiry. Now, there were several other councillors here beside me who argued the case very strongly at that court hearing in the Millbrook Lodge Hotel 2 years ago. But the fact is that Ballinhinch bypass is ready to go. The outcome of the public inquiry has been accepted. The Minister Hazard at the time has instructed the department with a notice to proceed. So when funding is ready, it's ready to go. Other schemes, Chair, aren't ready. I checked with Infrastructure Department today, Simon Richardson's department, and he tells me that the Newry Southern Relief Road is 2.5 years behind Ballinhinch in terms of progress. The time due process is followed. Down Patrick Eastern Distributor Road is still at a feasibility stage. Feasibility? I mean, we all know what feasibility means. Chair, whether we like it or not, there is a pecking order, and we have to face reality. And that's dictated to by traffic surveys, and as a consequence of that, budgets have to be allocated on a particular basis, on a year-by-year basis. So I just feel the notes of motion is meaningless, and I don't go along with Councillor Jenner. We and the DUP are in any way trying to degrade the Downpatrick Eastern Distributor Road. Not at all. We wish you well, and whatever scheme you're involved, we'll give you whatever support you have, but we have to face reality. There is a pecking order, and we are still pushing for the Ballinahinch bypass as soon as funds become available. So, like Councillor Walker, we'll be abstaining from the motion, Chair.
Councillor Enright.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's reasonable to say that giving this, recognising this project as a council priority won't damage any other infrastructure project in the area. If I recall correctly, there are 7 stages to major infrastructure projects. Now, the Ballinahinch bypass has reached stage 6 or 7. It's at the point where the minister has instructed it should go ahead as soon as funds become available, and that's very much to ex-minister Hazard's credit. Now, the Southern Relief Road, as I understand it, has now reached stage 3, is it right? Or is it stage 4? I'm not sure, but it's well on in the pecking order. Now, the difficulty we have about the Eastern Distributor Road is that the council has been sitting on its hands for a number of years and not moving it to stage 1. Now, fortunately, the minister, Hazard, before he left, got an inquiry or a study going which potentially could bring this road up to stage 1. I.e. we know where it's going and we know exactly what land it's going over, so we can talk to the project and we can also meet with landowners. Now, the context of this is that the current Housing and Development Plan envisaged Downpatrick as a town of 25,000 people, and that it would reflect a critical mass that would be able to attract and retain services. Now, to this end, the area plan envisages 3 things. First of all, it required the sewage system to be upgraded. Now, the sewage system was upgraded to 28,000 PTE, which is substantially greater than the population of the town. The Eastern Distributor Road was drawn in, and indeed the hospital, when it was being built, delivered the first section of the Eastern Distributor Road from the Hourglass roundabout to a field slightly east of this council building. Now, substantial lands were rezoned all along the east and south side of Downpatrick. And to be truthful, if this was pounced upon by council, council could look to substantially increasing its rate space by fulfilling the brief of the current area plan by increasing the population of Downpatrick from about 16,000 PTE to 27,000 PTE. Now, since the hospital, there's only been one serious attempt made to engage with landowners since the current area plan came about. And that serious effort was made by now MP, then Minister Chris Hazard, who met with the developer for the lands behind Ardfern and required that the road to access that new development should mirror the requirements of the Eastern Distributor Road. Now, there's nothing to stop council, if it were to appoint managers to do this, to approach the 6 other landowners along the route of the road and suggest to them that since their lands are rezoned and are fit for development under the current area plan, that they could bring forward proposals for development so long as they included a section of the road in the same way that Ardfern is delivering a section of the road. Alternatively, the council, if it so wishes, could levy developers along the line of the Eastern Distributor Road. So the point here being that the Ballinahinch bypass will come entirely from the public purse. There'll be no development levies. There'll be no developer-led development. It's entirely out of the public purse. Whereas, uniquely, we have an opportunity to deliver a project that is partly financed by developers, partly financed by government, and we can do it on a piecemeal basis over a period of time with the blessing of TNI. Now, it's not hard to envisage that were the council to appoint a part-time manager to administer this particular project and to meet with the landowners and to discuss the potential development and to create a committee with the planners and the TNI that they could create a special purpose vehicle to deliver this road. That's what the developer-led development is all about, and they do it in the Republic the whole time. We have the powers to do this now, should we so choose. So we can either, on one hand, copy Minister Hazard and engage with the developers who want to develop their land, or alternatively, we can simply announce that there will be a levy for the lands in the east and southern area of Downpatrick in order to ensure that this project is developed. So this is not going with a begging bowl to any government department. It's about rationally using the powers that we have to expand the rate space and increase the amount of money this council is taking in the foreseeable future. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to thank all of those parties and councillors that are supporting the motion here tonight. Just touching a couple of the comments raised. Councillor Walker, he's left the room here, but he clearly doesn't know a lot about how local infrastructure projects work. One could almost say his lack of support for this motion is a confused personal attack on its proposer. As he is right in saying, the Ballinahinch bypass is shovel-ready, and the A7 is far more advanced in terms of planning than the Eastern Distributor Road. All this motion will do is move the Eastern Distributor Road forward from a long-term project to a project that's possibly likely to be delivered within 10 years. It in no way will affect the progress of the other schemes prioritised, including the Southern Relief Road as well. As John clearly pointed out, all we want is equality. Whilst realising that in reality the bypass and A7 schemes will of course be delivered well before the Distributor Road, just to be clear again, for the DUP, we are not asking for all of these schemes to be delivered at exactly the same time. We recognise that there is a pecking order for these schemes, but we want to make sure that when the department is looking at schemes in our district, they know what our priorities are when money becomes available. Clearly, the DUP are trying to hide their lack of support for this project with some strange narrative that supporting more than one or two projects in our area would somehow undermine the Ballinahinch bypass. It wasn't proposed at the TNI meeting because the issue here is not about departmental support at the moment. It's about getting local council support first and then lobbying the department. The department has no incentive to deliver if we don't work together to make it happen, and it's sad that the DUP don't see that. Councillor Walker and others' arguments on support for this project, that support for this project will undermine the bypass, is complete nonsense and clearly shows the DUP's lack of support for Downpatrick. Billy says he's only interested in his own DEA, which is fine, although it shows a clear lack of ambition from his party. Plenty of his constituents travel through Downpatrick on a daily basis to shop and work.
Councillor Brown, thank you for that. Can we just put it up to a vote then? Show of hands, those in favour of the motion. With the amendment was accepted, so... I think Gillian had her hand down, but she has it up now, so it's 28. Those against and those abstaining. Okay, before no one against, four abstaining. So that's okay, the motion is carried. Could we now, are you happy enough, I think? Yeah, motion carried. Can we move on to item 17, the notice of motion received from Councillors Andrews and Walker. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I'd like to read into the record the following motion. Following the recent announcement by the Ulster Bank of its proposed closure of the Kilraid branch, we as a council are concerned with the detrimental effect that this will have on local jobs, the businesses and customers in the locality, and urge Ulster Bank to reconsider and reverse this proposal for the benefit of the people. You know, and presenting this motion, like, we all have been aware of bank closures in our constituencies over the past lot of years. And Crossguard 2011, the Dance, former Northern Bank, closed its doors. We had the same with the Ulster Bank in Sinfield, and now in Killay. And I'll say again, over other DEAs, various councillors over the past few years have spoke and raised the concerns about bank closures. You know, as I say, the trend has been fashionable in recent years for major banks to close branches in small towns, which is going to end up detrimental and disastrous to the communities that they serve. Residents who don't have access to online banking or mobile smartphones or whatever, and are dependent on the likes of public transport to get to the nearest bank, will be severely inconvenienced. You know, and whenever we look at local businesses who depend on banks for the likes of change or for lodgements, you know, they too are going to suffer in several ways. Many people who would have done their business at the local bank in Killay would have then visited the likes of the local shops, cafes or whatever. And as I say, that footfall sadly no longer is going to be there. And supporting and seeking your support tonight, colleagues, I do ask if you do support this motion, and I call upon this council to urge Ulster Bank to reconsider and reverse this proposal for the benefit of the people. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, is Billy gone? Billy's gone. Is Willie Clark going to be doing an intro? do you want us to second then? Or how are you going to second it? Right, no, it's okay. Leave it to you. That's okay. Just to say, look, we've all been here before with Ulster Bank branches, and indeed with other banks and other branches in our district closing. We in fact had a meeting with Ulster Bank in the Newry boardroom to listen to the concerns of councillors about, I think it was a Warren Point when we met them about. We were assured at that meeting that they would keep card services at least with a card machine, and frankly they ignored us. So though we are supportive of the motion tonight, there's no issue that way. It might be a little frivolous. They're a commercial business, and they will make a decision not based on what they think is the right for our district's people, but they will make a decision based on what's better for their balance sheet, which is unfortunate. I mean, they don't seem to have any moral consideration to the fact that they've been bailed out. I think it was $45 billion they got, and yet they treat the communities, and particularly rural communities, with disdain. In terms of the rural community we're talking about, you know, banking in rural communities, they believe has gone online. It's not something as a party we would say is true. In an ideal world, yes, things do move online, but let's be honest, we have a broadband survey in this council at this moment to ascertain just how bad our broadband infrastructure is. We know it's terrible. People cannot, even if they want to go online, in many cases go online. And then there's obviously that gap of people who are IT savvy and can do that. So I think the bank is totally ignoring a large section of the community. And apart from that sort of customer service and the social aspect of the face-to-face interaction of banking, I mean, I think we want to meet these guys, and we want to ask them how are they going to, you know, replace card services? How are they going to replace cash deposits? You know, our business is going to be expected, especially cash businesses, to travel long distances to deposit cash, sums of cash, now that there's no night safe and stuff like that that goes along with it. Same with anybody paid by cheques, are they supposed to travel long distances to do that? And how do they replace the advice services that is a face-to-face transaction with? So, I mean, and summing up, all I would say is that, you know, maybe we ask for a meeting and we put all these points to these guys again, but I am sure it'll be water off the duck's back. They'll smile and say they can do everything for us and promptly ignore us, but all we can do is register our concern and stand with the people in Solitude. So happy to support the move.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say, I mean, it is a total disgrace that banks closing their doors on these small towns. And these days, I mean, it just makes it so hard for disabled folk, for elderly. The hardest thing is, if you're talking to them, I mean, they have to drive to a bigger town. Parking is a big problem. cross cars, you know, bank closed a few years ago, still complaints about it. More than happy to support the motion. Thank you for bringing it, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm speaking on behalf of Councillor Burgess. He's had to go and offer his apologies, but certainly as a party, we're very happy to support the motion. I think all of us as elected representatives have experienced this issue one way or other over a period of time. There seems to be an attitude with banks now that they're determined to remove themselves from providing frontline services. And it's really cost-saving on their part rather than worrying about what the customers, what impact it will be on the customer when they make these decisions. And it is particularly concerning for rural dwellers as well, when there has been a mention about the broadband and the fact that broadband isn't fit for purpose in many areas, and this is the type of way that banks want us to approach dealing with them in terms of being online or through phone services. So I think there's issues like that there that need to be taken on board when they make decisions like this. But certainly, I think even the suggestion of a meeting would be useful. I'm not so sure that they obviously will reverse their decision, but I think it's important that banks do note we are concerned about the way they are approaching things. And it's not just the Ulster Bank, there's other banks that have taken decisions like very few banks in areas across Northern Ireland. So as a party, we're certainly very happy, and I certainly hope that it can have some impact on the decision taken by the bank.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. And a couple of things, Councillor Burns raised there, 78% of RBS, who own Ulster Bank, is taxpayers owned. The banking industry are saying that 60% increase in mobile and online banking is to the reason why branches are actually closing.
committee now, proposed and seconded, and on behalf of Councillor Clark and myself, a very happy Christmas. And it is Councillor Clark.
We just need to read that in.
Okay.
In committee.
Sorry, hold on 1 second. Just to make it technical.
It was agreed.
Yeah.
Members approved.
Members have been asked to approve Councillor Bailey's leave of absence from council business for a further period of up to 6 months due to ill health.
Proposed.
And this has been proposed and seconded by Councillor Rann, Councillor Burns, and it has been agreed at full council committee unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rachel.